What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Sif Pop Sif Spoil for No Sudden Move. We're going to talk about all the hanging threads, romances, jokes, Easter eggs, cameos, deaths, resurrections, and post-credit sequences.
They all die.
For No Sudden Move. Yeah, they all but one or two of them do. Let's see. Yeah, I think I wanted to talk about this to go into a little more detail in the plot. And I'll start where I finished in the review proper. What parts of the plot are you still a little shaky on? I have one. Ian has one. Andrew, is there anything that you kind of felt like, oh, I'm not quite and put these pieces together?
So I don't know if it was ever established. I have to bring up the character that we've been walking around forever. Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
But so at the end of this movie, is John Hamm like on his payroll or something? Or are we supposed to believe that it's more like a Fed is giving leniency to the big four?
Mm-hmm.
Is that more what's going on?
I think it's just it's another look at the power structure, capitalism. It's playing in some of those playgrounds that Soderbergh plays in, and just like the rich get richer. And John Hamm in doing the right thing, because he gave him all the money, including the bribe, by the way.
Yeah, which wasn't needed.
Gets
a nice bottle of whiskey, though. Like, come on. He did well.
It's true.
$80 bottle
of whiskey. And I think that is the point. One of the points of that scene is that John Hamm almost feels like he came out with something, you know, in a world where, you know, it's just, it's not about that. And the person who he's returning the money to was trying to spend that money on deception and corruption. And so, yeah, it's just the...
Somehow he ends up 100 grand richer.
Yeah.
Somehow. Like, yeah. He's the luckiest guy in the film.
Right.
If you're being really generous, then John Hamm's trying to set up a private sector job, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. Could be.
So why did Billy Duke let Don Cheadle live? Or why did Billy Duke want Don Cheadle dead?
So, I don't know. Do we get the? I don't know if we get the reason that he wants him dead. Do we get that reason? I can't remember.
No, because I can't work out why he let him go.
So
why he let him have his 5 grand and leave?
I think at the end of the day, what that final scene is supposed to be telling us is that there are moments of trust, that there are actual moments where, you know, people quote unquote can do the right thing or whatever. But yeah, the Aldrich character, I'm not sure what Goines did to him.
I think it comes back to this event that happened at the Gotham Hotel previously that he's so notorious for.
Right.
And I think that went sideways, and that was a mission from Aldrich to do with what's his name?
Capelli?
Aldrich? No,
Aldrich, Watkins,
Frank,
Billy Duke's character.
That's it, Aldrich. Yeah, something to do with Frank and Aldrich that went sideways because of what Goines did, and I think,
so they both hate him.
Yeah, yeah, and if he'd have just lived his life and disappeared, they would have maybe forgotten about it. But because he's back in the arena, it's like, well, you've asked for this now, and we're going to have to do something about
it. Well, I think he's not back.
Kind of what I got.
I don't think the movie is saying he's back in the arena. I think the movie is saying
but
he's...
For this mission, in inverted commas,
well,
he's...
But I think this mission was to kill him. If I'm understanding the setup, the original setup is for Kieran Culkin to take both Goines and Russo and kill them and the family.
Yes.
So the Goines and Russo part was basically just a setup, you know, to get rid of them because they don't like them. Mm. One of them because he's sleeping with his wife, or he believes he is. Man, that affair stuff was so funny because, like, he tries to play the they already told me card with both of them, and
yes,
neither
and
one of
works.
Them bite on it. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen that
it's
before,
so
but it's so good. And again, plays into the themes of trust and lies and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think the idea is that they were being set up, you know, kind of take the fall and the bullets for part of it, because like he says later, like they really needed us to watch the family for a job that was taking place at GM. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason for it to even involve the family if your job is just to get that paper. So I think they called him in as a setup, and he was just, I think, in the area. I think he'd just gotten out of prison, right? Wasn't that the idea?
Yeah, no, the day before.
Yeah. So that's what it was. He was now out of prison,
right.
And they wanted
right.
to kill him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's...
I think it is because of the Gotham Hotel.
I believe you're right. I believe you're right about that.
Yeah, but Billy Duke says at the end of this movie, you can put Goines in prison, we'll just have him killed in there.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case... Why didn't he have him killed in prison initially?
I think that's a saving face thing.
Yeah,
I think we're not going to let the police, the FBI have him. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a lie.
But then
that's...
I don't understand. So I understand Billy Duke, Aldrich's character, giving the runaround to John Hamm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's so much of this before they meet John Hamm at the end where Billy Duke is... I guess playing Goines, but I don't see to what end.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember, both Aldrich and Capelli wanted Goines dead. Because of whatever happened at this hotel, Aldrich does not like Goines. And Goines called Aldrich to give him the money from this deal as a way to say, you know, I think when he learned that Frank wanted him dead or alive, and Aldrich wanted him alive, I think to him that was like, okay, this is the side I'm choosing for, you know, to trust, you know,
my best possible chance.
So I'm going to tell him exactly what the plan is. I'm going to be honest with him. I'm going to trust him. And I think it worked. I think Aldrich was like, you know, at the end of the day, when they let him out of the trunk in Kansas City or wherever they drive him to, I don't think Aldrich has made up his mind completely until he takes the $5,000 instead of asking for more. And when he decides not to ask for more, I think Aldrich knows that he's made a change and a turn and is...
He just wants out
he
of
just
this
wants
business.
Out
he
of
just wants
the Detroit
to be far,
thing.
Far away.
Yeah, he just doesn't he doesn't want any part of the Detroit thing anymore.
No, I think you're right.
So that was my take on it. The one part that I had to piece together, and maybe I just missed it, but the money that they have at the end, the $5,000 versus whatever amount is in the bag, is not the same money that John Hamm returns. And so is that the money from Studebaker? So did they go take the money from the Studebaker guy? Because we don't really see what happens in that.
We don't see that. That was the plan, but then... Aldrich intercepts
the Studebaker guy.
We don't see that happen.
So Aldrich goes to the Studebaker guy and just says, give us your money and we'll let you live. And he runs out to his car and they just have that money.
It's not explicit.
And he has no way to get it back because it was all under the table. He doesn't want to be found out anyway. All right.
And I think
that was part of Goines' plan. Did he tell Aldrich to go intercept the Studebaker guy?
No, because that's where him and Russo were going to go next. They were going to go to Studebaker.
I think he tells Russo that's where they're going next, but I think...
Oh, no, because then the bellhop comes in.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
I think he lies to Russo about that.
Oh, man,
I think you're giving
Goins
too much Danny Ocean credit in this.
The movie is giving Goins Danny Ocean credit. I really do.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I think I would... From the movie I watched, I didn't see Danny Ocean. I saw Holland March from The Nice Guys, you know, Ryan Gosling's character, mm-hmm. where he was falling into good.
That is definitely not the movie I saw. That is.
Yeah.
Other than his relationship to Aldrich in that play to regain trust with Aldrich, I think he is ahead of every single person in this movie at every single moment. So,
that's what I saw as well. And it's almost not willingly. It's almost like I lived, died, repeated this so many times that I can see it coming.
Yeah, he's just totally. There's almost an omniscience to him, you know, as far as.
But I see where you're coming from not seeing that, Andrew, because he doesn't play it off cockily. He doesn't. It's almost. He almost shares this information too late, but you know that he's had it all along.
That's the thing. I didn't get that he had the information all along because I found so many scenes where he was trying to figure out what's going on. Like the scene with Charlie, where Charlie, you know, starts... I saw Don Cheadle going like, wait, what is going on? Are they... He quickly found out, wait, he's going to try and kill us after he kills his family. I didn't see a man who had a plan and he knew that was going to happen. I figured that there were so many moments in this movie that... what would you call him? You would call him unforeseen circumstances, you know, that he would have to, I guess, improvise around.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get ever a sense that this was all part of the grand plan.
Correct. You are absolutely correct. This is the difference. This is why he's not Danny Ocean, but he is a different type of Danny Ocean, right? The Ocean's 11 thing is we're going to plan this out to the nines or the 11s. Yes. And then go in and do this thing. And what Goins is he is an improviser, but he is, at least the movie I watched, he was aware of all the pieces on the board and playing chess during the whole thing and being like, okay, I'm going to improvise and make this move based on what they've done here. So he is being in the moment a chess master as opposed to a pre-planner. Is what I saw.
There could be six different routes that this situation could go sideways. And in his head, he probably has a resolution for each of those six. And as soon as he realizes, right, double cross, bam, this guy needs to die. This is what's happening. Because we get that later on as well when he's planning all of the heavies and the backup for the meeting at the Gotham Hotel. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly why I'm going to get double-crossed. I don't know what their motivations are, but I'm sure I'm going
to
get double-crossed.
And I'm going to knock something to the ground.
So we're going to have these guys here just in case.
Yeah.
May not need it, but it's going
to
be there.
And he shows places other, like in with the family. He says to them, as soon as he shoots Charlie, he says things to them like,
I'm going to need you.
I'm going to make a phone call. Here's what we're doing. You're taking this car and going. Like he, you know. He is...
You shot him from this direction.
Right. Like, he is instructing and, like, playing his moves. And, yeah, I really do think he is the hero of the story. And, you know, we're supposed to watch him navigate and improvise and be amazed at kind of how ahead he is of everybody else.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So. But it is played off in a Columbo way where nobody assumes that of him at all. Yeah. He almost
And again, there's
a
racial element
to
idiot.
That.
Yeah. I really think the Russo character, you know, with how he dies is an emphasis on, you know, that he really didn't understand the situation. Didn't understand at any point. Russo was never ahead of the game. He never understood what was going on, who was on his side, who he could trust, you know, so... Yeah.
I've got another question on that. How far ahead did Ray Liotta's wife,
Vanessa,
was she planning to double cross Russo from the beginning?
Oh,
because
yes.
For a second, I was thinking, like, she's the actual mastermind here because
I think
she's
the movie
played everybody to get this money.
Yes. I think the movie and leaves her as a little bit of a mastermind as well, even though even though the police are on top of it, you know, she is left having, you know, almost gotten away with it, you know, almost
everyone does the hard work and she sweeps in.
She's kind of the B-side Goins, right? Like where everybody underestimated her and
absolutely.
And she double crossed. So, yeah.
I got one more question. And it's not really, I don't understand it, like, story-wise, it's more of a storytelling element that I don't understand. So, David Harbour's character goes through the whole thing where he, you know, gets kidnapped, has to go get the book back and everything, and then after they're done with him, we still go back to his character now and then, where we see him with the secretary, and we see him in his office. That doesn't add anything to the movie for me.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, there are so many other moving parts going on in this movie. I don't understand why the movie wanted me to continue following this guy. Does that make sense?
It had to, in Soderbergh's mind, I'm guessing. He's paying off his themes of who can you trust? How do you trust them? Here's this affair where they were planning on, you know, using this thing that they knew about to run away together. And the resolution to that is she never really needed him. She's going to do their plan with somebody else. And him reconciling the idea of, oh, I guess there wasn't as much trust there as I thought. And then having to reconcile that with his wife and his family and, you know, what trust do they have now together? So I think what Soderbergh's doing is he's playing with those themes in each of our characters' lives and showing the resolutions for those, you know, relationships in each of their lives. So you're absolutely right. I think there's a different movie, version of the movie that doesn't go back to that plot line. And maybe that's fine. But I'm almost sure that's what Soderbergh is doing, you know, by going back to it. So, yeah.
And I really enjoyed that element. And I think he gets the greatest line in the film where he just sits on the sofa at the end and he's just like, it's only Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday.
it's such a great line.
What else is going to happen this week? It's so great. But the person that he's having an affair with, she can't even trust him to follow through on the plan. Like,
every character breaches trust with other character. You think of Noah Jupe, whose name we haven't mentioned, as the son who is holding this secret. And can he trust the FBI or the detective? Or does he not trust the detective? Does he trust his family? Does he not trust his family? You know, go take your sister to this room. Do they trust that she's actually in there playing with her toys? Do they not? Like, it's just trust is just like the backbone of every choice that every character is making with every other character in this movie. It's really kind of incredible.
It's great.
Yeah,
it really is. So many different, without being confusing as well. I still understand who was supposed to trust whom and who didn't.
I've heard a few in some of the reviews I read after I watched it. I have seen people use the word confusing, and I'm just like, maybe it's definitely complex. I'm not sure it is confusing.
No,
though.
I think it's confusing.
I think it's all there. Ian, did you say the one part that you were still thinking about?
It was the main thing was just clearing up Goins, but that totally makes sense. But the one bit that did bug me was she masterminding?
Right.
How much of this was she masterminding to get away with the money?
Right.
That's what was a little bit of a question mark, but I think we cleared that up.
How great is that reveal of the bullet in the other side of the thing? Instead of it protecting you from the bullet, it actually...
So good.
And that is such a beautiful reversal of that trope. Like, I just, I don't know. I just love that kind of stuff where,
you know, that was great.
Yeah. Where you can't even trust your handy alcohol container to protect you from a bullet from the correct side. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. It's fantastic.
Because you've been what? Shot in the back. Another phrase that we use for not having trust with somebody.
Well, and if he'd sat in the back seat instead of sitting in the front as to his own rules,
there you go.
Good chance he might have seen this coming.
Yeah.
But David Arbour apologetically beating the snot out of his boss is just fantastic.
I love my job.
I love my job so much. You must understand how much I have to do this because I love my job and I'm going to hit you. But what I love is that it didn't do a Hollywood bam punch. It was just a wet slap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like just a microphone of David Arbour just punching. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, this movie just reveals itself, which is pretty fun. Anything else that you guys wanted to mention about No Sudden Move?
I think that'll do it.
Stop doing business at this hotel, please. Or whenever you see Goines, make a bucket. I'd like a table for nine for Goines. Nope.
Yeah. I'm not sure this is the best title for this movie.
Both of these movies... dumb titles.
I
like the Tomorrow War.
Tomorrow. I mean, at least Tomorrow War. It's very literal. You know, No Sudden Move. I'm just trying to figure out what was being thought of with that title. Maybe it has to do with that's Goine's attitude. Is like, you know, I'm going to walk through this, you know, steady and I don't know.
What I got from it was the kind of 1950s trope of, stick them up and no sudden moves.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. Like, I'm watching all of you, no sudden movements, because I can't trust you to not...
Sure.
If you move a hand, you're reaching for something.
That's it.
So
that's
think
probably
it kind of tied back into trust.
That's probably it.
I would call this movie Detroit Moves. That's what I call this movie.
I would just call it either Know When to Quit or Trust No One, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's, Anyhow, I love it more than I did when we started talking about it.
Awesome.
I'm with you there.
One thing we didn't talk about, and I'm kind of proud of us for not talking about, because really, who cares? But there's been a lot of conversation about Brendan Fraser's appearance online and different things like that. He definitely looks different than, you know, he looked last time we saw him in The Mummy or whatever. But, I mean...
The Mummies were like, what, 20, 25 years ago?
Yeah.
Bodies change. Things happen.
Bodies
we don't
change.
Know what he... I have read previously because I did read into
he
a little bit about,
stuff.
Like, where's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's Brendan Fraser now? And because I loved him in The Mummy, I thought, I'm going to have a look. And the guy's been through some stuff, but I don't think that's what you need to review his performance based on, obviously.
No. And the less and less we can do that, the better, especially with women actors. You know, it's just, you know, the entertainment industry is very much an appearance based industry. And so it's not surprising to me, but. I'm glad we're maybe starting to get away from it. Or although maybe this is a sign of more sexism in the industry that, you know, it doesn't matter as much for, you know, Brendan Fraser to have gained a few pounds because he's a man, you know? So I don't know. But anyhow, I absolutely adore this movie. And thank you so much for hanging out with us for some spoiler talk about No Sudden Move. And we'll catch you the next time we need to do some spoilers.
Bye.
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 When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.